We've all got scars, some on the outside and some on the inside. But we can't be defined by our scars. I've spoken with some extraordinary people about how they've become empowered by their scars. This is I've Got Scars, Baby.
Okay. So I'm so excited right now. So today we're talking about embracing your body, men and their scars. And right now we have an amazing young man. We have Jamal Hill.
Hey.
So you are an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
And you are also, okay, let me get this right. Let me make sure that's why I have my notes right here so okay. I can say it right. You are the number one ranked U.S. Paralympic swimmer. That's not the best way to say it. I feel like, what's the best way to say it?
You nailed
it. Okay, is that cool?
Yeah,
okay, so the number one ranked U.S. Paralympic swimmer.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so real quick, though, mm-hmm. Just in case you was like, for real, I don't believe you, Audra. I don't really believe. You know what I'm saying? Just real quick, let them see you.
Real quick.
Just real quick, in case you
real
need to.
Quick.
That's just four.
We could just.
That's listen to that.
For those with only audio. Right?
Those are the medals Amen. Right there. They're heavy and everything. They look amazing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He has four right here on the table, but I don't know. He might leave with three. I don't know.
No.
I'm just saying, can I just. Like, no,
absolutely
real quick,
not.
Though.
No,
it.
It's okay. I feel it, though. I love the energy. But
yes, that's incredible.
Yeah, so these were actually the first national medals I ever won. So these are from last December out in Arizona.
Okay.
Paralympic Nationals. So that was at that time, that was when I was first officially number one in the nation for I think three events.
Wow.
And I broke top 10 in the world during that meet. So that was pretty good meet, yeah. So we got like the anniversary for this coming up. Actually, next week in Dallas, so it'll be
wow.
a one-year anniversary. Maybe we'll come home with like five or six.
See?
I don't know.
So you just over there winning like everything, just real quick.
It's like, that's the thing about sports.
Okay.
You kind of have to win.
Oh, you know, that's true.
You kind of like,
can't. It's not like the situation where they're like, you know, he tried.
No.
He came in 19th.
No, there's like no objectivity or complete objectivity, right? There's like first, second, third, and then...
And then,
you know, we all
thanks for coming.
I've been there.
Get out of here. Yeah.
I've been there in those thanks for coming spots. But it's like way, way, way more fun, especially for talk shows when I have something.
You got something to just kind of be like, yo, this is what I do.
Yeah. I was actually there.
I love that. I love it. See? Yeah. Mm-hmm. So we going
to
get to it then because you have. The medals, you're doing your thing, mm-hmm. like a champion. That must have been the easiest thing in the world, right?
Come on now. I love the setup.
That got to be the easiest thing.
I love the setup. Absolutely not.
So let's take it back then.
Okay,
let's take it
rewind.
Back all the way back because you're originally from Inglewood.
Yes, ma'am.
Right? Okay. I used to live in Inglewood.
Really?
What up, Inglewood?
What cross streets?
So I was on Sentinel and La Brea.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Verified. Yes, you've been verified.
Like right over by, okay, I ain't going to say it right now because they ain't sponsoring necessarily, so I ain't going to say
all. Yeah.
So yes, but yes, Sentinel and La Brea. And so back, you know, we're taking all the way back to childhood.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so you were born and raised there, mm-hmm. and then, like, what
oh,
made
for
you
sure. so,
get
I mean,
into
swimming was actually the first sport I ever participated in.
Okay.
So it started off, my mom, she put me in swimming. My dad was an old basketball player out of Kansas City. Cold dude, tried out for NBA teams, didn't make it different times.
Mm-hmm.
But he wanted me to be a hooper.
Mm-hmm.
And my mom was like, you know, everybody trying to do the same thing these days, JB.
Yeah.
That's my daddy's name. But she was like, if there's one thing for sure, this boy will know how to swim because she never got the opportunity to learn.
Mm-hmm.
We'll talk about it later. I actually
okay.
taught her in her 60s. Right? But,
I love that so much.
So she's like, yeah, that's what he's going to do. He's going to swim.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, first sport I ever picked up, learned it, took lessons, ended up joining the swim team. I'm a naturally competitive guy.
Okay.
So it's like one day I was like, man, you know, I'm getting pretty good at this, mom. You should just put me on the swim team. This might be like 6 or 7. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a little boy. She's like, listen, boy, you can't even act right in the lessons. You want to be on the swim team? Mm-hmm. That's commitment. You know, I got to drive over here every single day. We got to go to meets. And so, you know, I had to put on my game face, right? Got my act together.
Okay.
Swam underage age group from like 6 to about 9, 10 years old.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it. I was good at it. Like we said, right? It's very fun when you're winning, honestly.
Yes, so absolutely.
I was pretty good at it. I was winning a lot. And then when I was 9 years old, I actually dislocated my right shoulder.
Oh.
Right? It's like complete dislocation.
You was swimming that hard? Good God.
Apparently, right? Like one day I was just in the locker room and I showed my dad like, oh, hey, look at this cool thing I can do. And he's like, yeah, no, that's not normal at all. Right?
He was like, let's take you to the hospital.
Yeah. Okay. So, I mean, so we go to the hospital and they're like, pretty much long story short, unless this boy stops swimming, we'll have to amputate his right arm. Right? 0 to 100.
What?
Listen, this is what I say. I'm like, that's an exaggeration. I'm an exaggeration pro. That's an exaggeration, but my parents couldn't be told any different. So I took a break from swimming right there. And then 6 months later, Thanksgiving season. So this is like low key. How old am I? 24 is like a 14-year anniversary.
Wow.
Thanksgiving, 6 months later, my body starts to go limp at the table. So like that right arm that was wonky goes out. My leg goes out. We end up going to the hospital and I fall into this state of paralysis, essentially.
Whoa.
So like everything beneath the neck was just not connected. Like it was there. If you were to hit me or pinch me or I was to be burned, I could feel it.
Yeah.
But in terms of like moving it, I tell people it's kind of like that Kill Bill. Have you ever seen Kill Bill?
Mm-hmm.
When she's in the back of the wagon.
Yeah.
She woke up. She's trying to wiggle the big toe. That was the experience.
God.
That's like the experience verbatim, pretty much.
Oh,
trying to
God.
Talk to my body like, oh, you know, start working. But it just wasn't having it. So I was in that state for about 3 days down at Children's Hospital, Los Angeles.
Wow.
And we ended up finding out that like the dislocated shoulder was a complication of what I was diagnosed with. That was Charcot-Marie-Tooth.
So, what is it now?
So Charcot-Marie-Tooth.
Okay.
Okay, so that's the name of 3 French scientists that discovered the disease.
Okay. And they call it CMT?
CMT, yeah.
Okay.
Just, you know, abbreviations of their names.
Yeah.
And essentially what it is it's a motor neuropathy, right? So it can be likened to things like cerebral palsy, things of that nature, right? So the muscles atrophy, they underdevelop, and then also the neural pathways, right? So the things that we just take for granted, like, oh, let me, like, wiggle my thumbs or wiggle my toes.
Yeah.
My toes don't wiggle at all.
Wow.
And, like, they're there.
Yeah.
They don't wiggle. Like, my calves don't grow. My ankles don't grow. I've had probably easily, non-exaggerating, 200 sprained ankles in my life.
Just because it happens.
It just happens. Like, step the wrong way on a curve, be playing basketball, walking down the street, walking down some stairs.
So even being able to walk, it sounds like that's a feat in and of itself.
Girl, let me tell you. Walking miracle these days. It is really a feat, even to this day. So I'm a part of the Paralympics, right? I have to go through checkups and things like that to stay certified in the movement. And so every time I go to a new doctor, they run nerve conductivity tests. So essentially, like, they electric probe you, and the muscles are supposed to shock, right? Real lab rat type stuff. And so they do it to my legs. Nothing ever happens. And so they're like,
How did you even feel it?
Like, a lot of times, I'm like, yeah, like, when are you going to get started? They're like, oh, no, we're doing it. Because you're on your back, you can't see what they're doing.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, we already started. Like, you don't, nothing is happening. I'm like, yeah, that's why I'm in here.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
So how is it, like, I'm still confused. Like, how is it that you can actually walk if you can't, connect with your feet, with your toes, with your legs?
That's a great question. You know, it would behoove me not to say the higher powers, God.
That.
You know, that's
God.
Step one on the checklist,
right? That's incredible.
Right? And then after that, you know, the way it manifested was I just have these crazy compensation patterns. So my knees are pretty much like my feet.
Okay.
And then I have these huge, really like muscle growths in my lower back.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they're massive stabilizers. Right. So like I move everything from my lower back, from my lower core. My quads are extremely, extremely strong. Again, my knees are so-so-ish, but like they're my feet. So I'm just really, it's an illusion.
So you basically, your body then started to compensate and figure out, okay, he's a swimmer.
Mm-hmm.
We gonna swim.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it might be different than the way other people swim, we gonna swim.
I mean, and what's crazy is like during that time, right, from 10 to 16, I didn't swim at all.
Okay, let's go back.
Yeah, let's go back.
let's go back because all of this, see, you're telling me stuff. I'm like, wow. Okay.
It's a lot.
Okay, so you got diagnosed.
Mm-hmm. I was at 10.
And so you stopped swimming.
I stopped swimming before that.
But you were okay even walking then. Was it any type of therapy that you had to go
through? No, we never did therapy. We never did anything like that. My parents were really, I mean, really my mom, you know, I got to give her the credit that she's due. She was of the volition that, you don't need to be a prison to your own mind. You don't need to be a prison to what these other people will limit you to. You don't need to be a prisoner. So even though I had the experience of paralysis and all these things, it was never a conversation that we had. Like, it was really something that was swept under the rug.
It was just kind of like, okay, well, let's keep going.
Yeah, like, that was it. And it happened during Christmas, Thanksgiving break. So, like, the week that I was out of school, nobody knew anything.
Wow.
So, it's like, people hit me up now, you know, that I knew from childhood. They're like, what? When did all this? It's like, man, you know?
Wow. Okay. So, for you, how do you really deal with it? Because now, at this point, you're not really swimming, but you loved it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, your body paralysis, like you're trying to figure yourself out.
Yeah.
Like, how did it affect you mentally?
I mean, well, I'm an only child.
Me too. Well, okay. Not me too.
Okay.
I was raised an only child. I have older sisters and all that, but they're like much older.
Much older.
But raised an only child. So I know that idea of
absolutely. And you can really relate. It's like, exactly. That's really it. Like, they're still my parents, so even though, like, I talk to them, it's like you don't go to them necessarily, or at least I didn't, right? Like, you don't necessarily go to them with the deep, dark secrets and the things that you're unsure of unless you just really need help. And then even being the only child, it's like, you know, I was trained, like, man, if something goes wrong, I got to fix it, because if they get involved, it's like,
it's a whole thing.
It's a whole thing now. Yeah. So I'm just trying to, you know, to some degree, like, make sense of it, but at the same pace, like, not think too much about it.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's like, I'm still a kid. So, you know, I'm seeing these other kids do these athletic feats. And, you know, you look at me, I'm an athletic-looking guy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm knowing that at the same pace. So there were things that I couldn't do that I felt like I should have been able to do. So it's like, even to this day, I've never dunked a regular basketball. Right? Just because I can't. The stuff beneath my knees doesn't work well enough for me to get that type of lift.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could run. The illusion of running is what I call it, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, it was kids that I felt no way should have been faster than me. But, like, they was just faster than me for whatever reason.
Yeah.
There were things, even in the water, when I was becoming a lifeguard, certain, you know, life-saving techniques that require, like, whipping motions of the legs.
Yeah.
It was just the hardest thing in the world for me. And I would come home after all these experiences and tell my parents, like, hey, you know, like, I feel like it shouldn't be this hard. And their response would be, you know what? If you keep practicing, you'll for sure be better than you are now. And so that.
Wow. That's
how we did it. Yeah.
Kudos to your mom. Like, she's dope for that.
Yeah.
Like, wow. Like, yeah. So just keep.
Right.
Doing what you're doing, keep going hard, and you'll get there.
Right.
Wow. And but in your mind, you were like, I should be able to do this.
100%.
I think now that is profound, because you weren't like, oh, well, technically I shouldn't be able to do this, because the doctor said, oh, you know, you have this disease or whatnot. And mm-hmm. so, you know, you're not going to be able to do the things that you really want to do. And right. you could have taken that and yeah. just kind of gone and been an accountant or something.
For sure. My mom didn't play. Like I said, I was like really not privy to any of this knowledge until like maybe I'm 24 now. That happened when I was 10 until maybe I was like 21, 22.
She like, just told you.
It was, and this is the thing, it's a difficult thing to like really conceptualize because I knew it happened.
Yeah.
I was very present during the entire thing.
Yeah.
I just never got an explanation.
Got you. It's, you know, okay, it reminds me of this. One of the guests on the show, a really great friend of mine,
mm-hmm.
she has scoliosis, and so she's 4'5". And so she's technically a little person,
mm-hmm.
but growing up, she was never told that she was really different. So mm-hmm. you see her doing everything like, yeah. you know, like she's the kind of person that literally will try to pick up a couch and I have to tell her, excuse me, calm down with the picking up of the couches. You know, like she just felt like, okay, I'm Mighty Mouse. There's nothing right. different about me.
Right.
So the idea is that, you know, you just kind of look like, okay, technically, yeah, I know that this thing happened. They told me this thing, but it wasn't anything that you felt in your mind is something to limit you mm-hmm. or something that, oh, I shouldn't be able to do this.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
I think that that is very profound. And I think that seemed to be the thing that kind of.
Yeah. I mean, like. It was a great thing, but, and just kind of to build upon it more, right? Everything has its pros and cons,
yeah.
right? So, like, the pros of that were I felt unlimited,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But the cons were I didn't really identify with what I was really going through, right? I had disassociated myself with reality to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when you have those disassociations, ultimately there's going to be some type of shame built in there,
mm.
right? Excuse me. Right. And so when we have those disassociations, there's going to be some type of shame built in there. Right.
Yeah.
And so it's it became a thing like I never talked about it.
Oh,
right. Like I never talked about it. I never expressed it. It was like we just going to thug it out.
Interesting.
Yeah.
No, because, you know, my story, mm-hmm, like mm-hmm. burned it a year and a half, mm-hmm. 6 surgeries between the ages of 2 and 16, and I didn't look at myself in the mirror until I was 25.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea of, I know I have a scar, mm-hmm. I've had the surgeries, mm-hmm. I've had the chemical pills, I've had injections, I've had all types of stuff, I know they're there, but I am going to cover them up. If you can't see them, then I ain't going to tell you they're there, type of thing.
Right.
Wow. So you felt shame, and what was the shame was that you felt you just didn't want to be different than anyone else, or what was it for you?
That's it exactly. Right? I think anyone who's been a kid, we've all been kids, right? So mm-hmm. we all know exactly what the kid experience is like.
Yes.
You don't want to be different.
No.
Being different, right? When you get older, it's like, thank God I'm different, right?
Yeah.
But when you're a kid, that is the absolute scariest thing.
Yes.
That's it, like. You don't want to be different, you know. And I was tall. I was, you know what I'm saying? I always had this voice since I was like.
Oh, wow.
I was 5 years old, I had a voice and a little stash going on. So,
a grown little man walking
like,
around.
So I'm like, man, last thing we need is something else around here. So.
Wow. Because I remember my first experience with feeling different. Mm-hmm. I was 3 years old. I was in dance class in ballet. And so we had to wear a unitard. So the unitard was like this. And when I was younger, when I was a kid, you know, I was much shorter. So my scar was a lot thicker and puffier. And so it was one of those things where people would come up, the kids would like look at me and like, what happened? What's that? And they're like pointing and they're like, oh, let me touch it. Like, you know, and I'm just like, I felt like I was on display and it was the most uncomfortable thing in the world.
Right.
And so I can totally understand why you would say, okay, no one has to know about this. I'm just going to tough it out. But how did you feel? How did that make you feel, feeling like you had to cover that up?
I mean, it made me feel, it was really ambivalent. Just because part of me is like, you know, it's not necessarily a secret.
Mm-hmm.
But because, like, if you look at me, unless you're really tuned in, you wouldn't notice it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to speak on it. at the same pace, when I have these limitations out here in the world physically, right, I don't want to be that guy that's making excuses.
Yeah. So what were your limitations?
I mean, just like I said, running, jumping. I mean,
you don't just always be like, hey, guy, let's, I mean, do people ask you like, hey, let's go for a run? And you're like, yeah, no, I'm going to have to catch you next time.
No, that's what I'm saying. It wasn't like a.
It's not something that they would.
What I'm saying is like, I've always been, not to like toot my own horn or anything, I've always been like an exceptional athlete.
Yeah.
And so like, you know, thank God's graces, that's made this so much easier and more manageable, more easy for me to hide and like feed into the illusion.
Yeah.
Right. But like, when we are competing, right? Because I've always been an athlete. So when I'm in these competitive sports, when I was competing in high school, when I went to college on the collegiate level, right? And now you start getting into the higher and higher and higher levels of athleticism.
Yeah.
It's like, if I'm going against this other guy who has use of his entire body, it really ain't going to matter too much how, you know, how much hard work I put in. Let's just say we both put in the same amount of hard work. Let's say I got more talent than him. But it's like, me just walking takes so much more energy than anyone else could ever understand. Like me just standing up, me doing the simple things every day. Yeah. We're not even talking about like lifting weights or swimming at high speeds or running. Just the simplest things take so much energy out of me, which is another thing with the neuropathy. Not only does it affect, it affects your nervous system quite entirely, right? So not just muscle growth deprivation, but also your stamina. Right. And your energy reserves, because the body is always working so hard. And so that's why this time of the year, always got to be real careful, because if I get sick, like if I get the flu or something like that, shutting down, because the system is already under so much constant stress, like it can't keep me moving and fight this virus at the same time.
So then you would just have to be taking naps all day.
That's it. That's really it.
Wow.
That's really, so you asked me what I did today. Like today was one of those days, like I literally was pretty much in the bed the whole day.
And you know what? Like this is a miracle to me. I'm just being honest. Because honestly, I'm still just like in awe of God that you are able to walk. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
And so you taking a nap, I'm like, brother, yes, you enjoyed his nap now. You know, you didn't earn this nap, you know?
Yeah.
So, wow, okay. So you have this diagnosis. Mm-hmm. You're figuring out like what your limitations are. You're grateful that you are able to walk and you're able to move about the world for the most part. You know, yeah, you put forth extra energy and effort into it, but like you're still able to do it. Now, if being able to walk is a feat, how in the world are we swimming? But not just swimming.
Yeah.
Like, did we see the medals? Do we need to show it again? Like, we swimming on this level. What? How does this happen? I need to know, because
I'm an ambitious spirit, you know.
But no, I think that is it, because like that's a lot. That's a lot of mind. Yeah. They talk about mind over matter, and to me, it sounds like a mind over matter situation. Your mom spoke life to you, she made sure that you did not look at yourself as, you know, disabled or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. She was just like, all right, figure it out. Figure out how to do whatever it is you say you want to do.
That's it. That's all there is to it. Like, we got your back, but ultimately, what you want to do is yours to do.
Okay.
It's our job, you know. So, again, not just my mom, my dad.
Your dad,
Now, mom was leading it, you know. Okay. But it wouldn't be what it is without pops either, you know what I'm saying? But it's always been, and that's a blessing in itself to have such an amazing support system. Because I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't probably be walking without them. Wow. I wouldn't be winning these medals without them.
Wow.
You know, so it takes a village, right? It's a whole team. So when I have these types of interviews, like, it's the whole family sitting here with me.
I love that so much. So that's community.
Absolutely.
Like, I feel like that's incredibly important, because a lot of people don't they don't realize, you know, when they are going through something, mm-hmm. a lot of people are just used to just, okay, I'm going to deal with it by myself. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm just going to, you know, try to stuff it down or put it behind me or whatever the case may be. And it's like, you're like, it's better with community. That's what it sounds like to me.
It's better with community, 100%. And I had to learn that in a lot of ways, the hard way.
Really?
Yeah, for sure. Because, I mean, like we just said, I'm an ambitious spirit. So
yeah.
Even with dealing with all the shame, I didn't communicate a lot to my parents. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't communicate. I never communicated to my coaches prior to this one that I have right now that got me into the Paralympics. Never communicated to any romantic relationships, mm-hmm. any friendships. You know, and then, again, to some degree, I was in this sense of denial. So today, you know, the Jamal of, you know, November 2019 has more respect for myself and, like, the things that I need to be at my best. But even Jamal 6 months ago, I was ripping and running on a daily basis, you know, mm-hmm. about to put myself into another paralyzed state.
Wow.
Trying to do too much. You know, I want to go to practice early in the morning, train hard, do a little bit of training after that. Then I want to get on the phone. I want to make, you know, 5,200 phone calls because I got to get to the bread. Then I want to get out here. I want to have this photo shoot. I want to do this interview. I want to, you know what I'm saying? I got to build this brand. Like, it's not going to build if I'm not doing it. You know, just that real. I mean, like, it's hungry.
Yeah.
But it's also like a sense of desperation.
Yeah. So the idea is to have faith that it's all going to get done. And be balanced and understanding that, you know, like there's a level of, they say, kind of know thyself, and knowing thyself is knowing your limitations. Like, I'm going to need to go and take a nap.
We got
to
chill out today.
We're going to sit it down. We're going to do some Netflix today. Or whatever.
You know, I've been the last few days, I've been on a little movie kick. So I go through like reading kicks and movie. I'm a big fan of cinematography and I'm a big fan of literature. So I've been on like a movie kick lately that helps me just
relax.
Sit and relax, put my feet up. Let go, enjoy someone else's art, you know, be inspired. So,
yeah,
absolutely.
That's good. That's important to know what works for you and what mm-hmm. serves you best. That's awesome. Okay.
Yeah.
So you talked about different relationships mm-hmm. and how would you consider it a disease? Or what is it considered?
Technically, it's a disease.
A disability.
Yeah. No, it's a Charcot-Marie-Tooth disease.
Okay. So would you consider, like, in certain instances, do you feel like when you're trying to deal with the disease mm-hmm. and not really trying to deal with it, mm-hmm. but knowing, like, okay, but it is there, mm-hmm. mentally, did you find yourself, you said, pushing away, like, okay, I can't deal with, you know, can't tell all this stuff to my parents.
Yeah.
Can't necessarily talk to my friends about it. And it was affecting relationships and things like that. Like, did you push people away? Like, you're this like guy that can like do everything. You're this, you know, like you were macho, like the machismo in there. It's like, yo, I can deal with it. But were there moments where you're like, I can't deal with it?
Yeah. I mean, you know, if I'm going to break that down into two parts, I think just when we talk about pushing relationships away, it may not have been so much, you know, a direct thing from Charcot-Marie-Tooth, mm-hmm. but I think just like that spirit that I held about me, that like, it's private. Like, what goes on with me and inside of me doesn't need to be communicated to you unless it's directly affecting you.
Mm.
Right? So that type of attitude and mentality can really be toxic. You know, it has a time and place, of course, mm-hmm. but like just not having open lines of communication, I think that's machismo kind of at its heart, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like that's machismo at its heart. Like, I don't really need to talk about it. Just like, oh no, I'm a private person, right? That's what we say.
Yeah.
Like, but no, I think that's really just the spirit that it helped kind of breed inside of me. Like, I don't want to talk about it. Not even like, it's my problem. Like,
mm-hmm.
you could tell me about your problems. That's cool. But like,
but you're not about to,
you don't need to
know, like, all my business.
You don't need to know all my business. Like, I got mine type of attitude. And I mean, again, like very warm, you know, I wouldn't call myself bubbly, but very warm spirited, yeah. You know, so I don't know if it ever cost me any relationships. Like, yeah. I was never just an a-hole to anybody like that, yeah. But it's definitely like a, you know, I never had a problem telling somebody, like, just, you know, stay in your lane. Like, so your lady don't want to hear nothing like that, right?
No, like, not at all. Don't it's like, oh, don't want it,
right? So that's,
I will stay in that lane,
right? So you know, yeah. Then we got to do damage control. But I think just to really, really jump on that machismo thing is when I started to, you know, shift my focus to the Paralympics,
mm-hmm.
Right? Because up until the age of, I would say, 21. My goal was the Olympics, right? Mm-hmm. So it's the United States of America Olympic and Paralympic organization, community, whatever have you. And the Paralympics, obviously, for athletes with physical disabilities. And so, you know, I'm with this coach, and she calls me out. She's like, hey, you know, I've been checking you out. You're not really getting too much faster. You kind of remind me of my cerebral palsy patients. I'm like, man, funny you say that. I got this thing going on. And so I give her the spiel, and she's like, why you never say nothing? I was like, well, you never asked. So
okay. Now that's machismo,
machismo right there. That's machismo
all
right.
The way.
That's machismo.
Like, wait. So you just going, and you're like, hey, I'm an athlete. Yep. I do what athletes do. I'm at practice. We doing our thing. Mm-hmm. And you know, that's just what it is.
That's just what it is.
And then she's like, so let me ask you a question real quick. This is what's going on.
Yeah.
Oh, well, just so you know, like real
right.
quick.
Super casual.
You know, I got this thing called CMT, so right. technically I shouldn't even be walking. So, but anyway, whatever.
Right.
So, like, you want me to get it back out there real quick?
If
like,
I may say, that's actually a pretty good, like, rendition of
wow.
I mean. I'm a real underplay stuff type of guy.
I can't even with you.
I'm a real
you're
down
that
player.
Person that'll
yeah.
be like, yeah, so you know, I got 18 bullet wounds over here.
Right,
it's fine.
Like, but
it's
I'm
fine.
Good though. I'm
so,
alive.
So this side works just fine. Let's go. Like, I can shoot the basketball right over here. Like, okay.
Yeah.
So I'm getting the idea of mm-hmm. what kind of guy
yep.
you are or were.
Yep.
And so when did you get to this point within yourself that you say, you know what, Jamal, you might want to actually accept this?
Yeah, I mean,
accept your limitations.
That was probably one of the most emotional moments of my life thus far. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's like, as far as I think, again, we talk about machismo, crying and the expression of emotion, emoting itself, right, is yeah. very almost like anti, right?
Yeah.
Like, not yeah. not welcome, but also like not strongly endorsed. So
yeah.
before, you know, I see a good movie. I love to cry during a good movie, something like that. But yeah. like just in terms of everyday life, somebody passing away, it usually just doesn't bring me to that emotional place. But now we're in this space where I'm like really having to face, you know, kind of the man in the mirror, yeah. right? And I've been wearing these glasses, mm-hmm. right? Like, that's not really me.
Yeah.
Right? And so yeah. it's like my coach, she's like, we should check out the Paralympics. Like, unless we can cure this,
yeah.
this is the route we're going to have to go on. So I shut that down real quick. I hit her with the listen, you got to stay in your lane.
Oh.
In so many words. You feel like we're respectful, but it was just like a don't go there with me.
It's like you were basically like, look, I want to be in the Olympics. This is my dream.
Right. I felt disrespected, right? Because she was challenging who I had told myself I was as a man, as a human being, right?
Wow.
That's who she was challenging, right? And so I don't go there.
Wow.
And so she respected it. She
yeah.
she didn't go there with me. A few months later, we had a friend come out from Britain.
Mm-hmm.
And so in a short distance, even with a I can pretty much hold my own, like, even in short distance. Like I said, I've gotten really good at, like, this magic of illusion, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, these muscle compensation patterns. So we get on the diving blocks. Those are, like, the starting platforms outside of the water.
Mm-hmm.
We dive in, we swim, we come back, we watch the video. He says to me, hey, Jamal, I was, like, over a meter or two ahead of you just off the start. Did you know your legs don't work? I was like, yeah, no, I did. I knew, right? Because we're looking at the video.
So he just like, saw it.
He just saw it. I mean, it's not hard to see.
Okay.
Like, it's like if you saw somebody jump and then you saw somebody fall over.
Gotcha.
That would be like, that is quite literally the difference.
Oh, wow.
Like somebody springing out.
Yeah.
And then somebody like going to spring out, but essentially just toppling over.
Wow.
Yeah. So like that, it's really, really obvious.
Okay.
You know, but wow. I mean, like, yeah. You know, if you're paying attention, it's how I'm like, yeah. Most things.
But you're like, okay, whatever. I got
whatever.
This. What's up?
Yeah. So he's like, oh, bro, you should check out the Paralympics. You would kill it. Like, I've got some friends. Da, 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 da. And like, he could already, as soon as he said it, he was like, oh, I probably shouldn't have said that. Like,
and your face. Was your face?
Yeah. It was kinda... like, I was trying to check myself. Like, I don't like being checked by other people.
Mm-hmm.
It's like I really try and check my own ego as much as possible. So I excused myself from practice. I went, took a cool little 5 minutes, spoke with God, came back. I was like, you know what? She said it. This dude right here never met me before. He's saying it. Maybe we should check it out.
Yeah.
Right? So we go ahead, we do it. We go to the first meet. I win these medals. Things are going well. And I have a breakdown, like a full-on just mental, emotional breakdown. It's like I call my parents into the house, like I'm just boo-hoo crying, because it's like all this stuff is like really hitting real now. Like, I don't want there to be anything wrong with me.
Yeah.
Like, I just don't want there to be anything wrong with me. And I just don't. Like, that's the bottom line. And now all these good things are happening, but they're happening to me that I really don't even like.
Yeah.
Right? Like, yeah. It's happening to a me that I don't even really like.
I've worked hard enough to work myself out of this situation, but I'm not out of the situation.
I'm not out of it. And it's like, why am I not out of it? And so that was really tough. That was probably like one of the most emotional experiences I've had thus far, because it was like a real just, man, like just tears and prayers. Like, you know, just tears and prayers, like. I mean, things are going better than they've ever been going before in my swim career.
Yeah.
At the same pace, like, this is nothing what I had planned. You know, I've been doing all this other stuff, getting ready for this. And so, you know, lo and behold, the voice in the back of my head said, though, you just got to love you for you. Like, it is what it is, right? Like, nothing has really changed.
Yeah.
Like, you're still doing all the things that you were doing.
Yeah.
Only now you're being rewarded for it. So like, and you're inspiring people. It's like, what's your problem?
Okay. I just want to tell you how incredibly perfect that is, and how I've had that similar experience.
Talk to me.
Because I just remember, I always felt like I always wanted to encourage people. Like, even when I just remember I was in 7th grade and just talking to friends, and like really traumatic things that they had gone through. Like, you know, one of my friends shared with me about sexual abuse that she experienced in the 7th grade. And I'm like, what? Oh my God. Like, you know, I always felt this connection and compassion for, I guess, like the underdog, so to speak. The person that's gone through some things. I didn't know why. And, you know, when I think about it now, it's because that's how I felt about myself.
Right.
And so when I was 25, I just remembered, like, just saying, okay, God, like, I want to encourage people.
Right.
Like, I'm writing songs and stuff. Like, yeah, I want to encourage people through my music and do all these different things. And I just remembered that tap on the shoulder that was like, well, Audra, how are you going to encourage anyone if you won't even look at yourself in the mirror?
Thanks.
And it was one of those things where I was like, oh, I couldn't argue with that. I could not say anything. And so that began like my journey toward acceptance and looking in the mirror. It took me about 6 months just to really not just look at myself, but to actually
like
embrace
you,
it and see it and be okay with it without cringing. And, you know, and it's one of those things where I was just like, okay. All right. And so, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so then it moves forward. And as I continued on, I started to see that the very thing that I at 17, I remember saying, God, I want to, you know, encourage people through my music. When I was 17, that's what I said. Mm-hmm. But I did not know, and I thought that, I think this is just how genius, you know what I'm saying, God is that the very thing that I wanted to do at 17, mm-hmm. I was given the platform at a year and a half when I was burned. Mm-hmm. And now I'm doing it. Right. I'm moving forward. And now it's not just about me and my dreams. It's about like encouraging other people, you know, through whatever they're going through. But I had to deal with my own stuff first.
That's it.
Like, you're your first, like, it's like, Audrey, you got to encourage yourself first.
That's it.
How about that?
That's
it. You start with self, and then you can move forward in doing all of that. And I when you share your story, it just makes me say, like, wow, like how perfect that is, because
you can relate,
you're just thinking,
right?
Yeah, because you're just thinking, like, I just want to go and be in the Olympics, and I want to encourage people because I want them to see me,
right.
Or I want to inspire people,
right.
Because I want them to see me being great,
right.
And it's like, I was like, but I wanted to be a little bit different.
A little bit different.
I wanted to be different. I want you people to see, but it's a whole other level.
It's a whole
other
level.
It's a whole other level, though.
Right.
Because it's not just, oh, yes, perfect athlete.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And that's just so incredible.
Unashamedly better, I must say. Unashamedly better than the plan that I had put together.
See? And I feel the same way. I'm just being honest, because everything inside of me was like, God, I wish that I didn't have this. I just want to look like other girls. I want to have, like, you know, growing up, adolescence, I want to have cleavage.
Right.
You know, but my scar is there.
Right.
It's like, but your story, but your, what it took for you to accept yourself.
Right.
But those are the things that are touching people, not just how excellent you are when you're swimming.
And that's, I think, you know, just to kind of bring it full circle here, again, like, it comes back to that machismo, almost like that patriarchal view, right, of just of accomplishment and success. Mm-hmm. And it's like, we all want to look like we just have the ultimate poise, like we're perfect, like we're, right, that's how I was measuring myself, like, no, I want to be this thing that people aspire to, right, this, like, almost like esoteric idea, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's so hard for people to relate to that, you know, like, it's so hard to really,
so
I mean,
true.
Like, if you're really about, you know, touching hearts and minds and souls, like, people need to be inspired, you know, so they don't want to aspire. That's too big of a journey.
Yes.
Right? So,
oh God, that's beautiful.
To even just be able to, you know, be here, share my story here, you share your story a little bit more, and this is just where we are at this point of our life, like, that allows so many people to invest now and still be along for all the journey that's to come, you know? So, yeah, it's a...
That's just so beautiful. That's perfectly said. That's perfectly said. And it's just because that's what this show is about, turning your scars into your superpower.
Mm-hmm.
And you are able to do that. And you are able to do that when you accepted yourself.
Yep.
Your whole self.
Yep.
Not just the athletic part,
right.
You know, like, just focused, driven, you know, ambitious, like, I got it, I'm perfect, part of yourself. But then the other part that you didn't necessarily feel was so perfect, but you don't even understand that it's like, yo, that's, you were a freaking miracle running around, like, wow.
And that's the thing, honestly, I'm not even a fan of the word perfect. Right, like, perfection is not a real thing.
It's not.
Right?
It's not.
Perfection is not a real thing at all. Perfection is fantasy.
Yes.
Right? Real people aren't perfect.
Yeah.
Right? Nobody, even the
but
people.
What is perfection?
It's exactly.
It's like, or maybe you are perfect as you're supposed to be.
That's it, right? Perfectly imperfect.
Yeah.
That's all you can be, because it's only one me. So
yes.
I must be doing something right, right? It's only one you. So
yes.
Can't nobody do you better than Audrey does, Audrey. So
and that's the truth.
That's
the case for everybody. So it's
exactly.
kind of like, well, who am I comparing myself to? Why even do it?
Why even do it?
Your DNA different, your fingerprints different.
We all fall into it though, right?
We
all fall into it, but again, it's just like, you just got to check back in, right?
You got to check back in and be like, you know what? Well, how can I be the most amazing version of myself?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, how can I rock Audra in like the dopest fashion?
Come on now.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like that right there is, I think, incredibly beautiful and really powerful. And that's something that I had to kind of grow into. But the how you get there, just in my own experience, is just accepting and fully loving self. Absolutely. Like just like all the stuff you've been
just
through.
Going in on
just
it, right?
Going
just
in go on all the love. In.
Just like, go all oh, in on shoot, it, right? Go right. all in on it.
Like, yeah.
Give
like,
yourself
go
the
there.
Respect and the courtesy and, you know, the admiration, all those things that you deserve. Right?
Yes.
Just give it up.
Give it up
give
to
it
yourself.
Up to yourself.
Give That's it up it. To yourself.
Give it up. Give it up, yes, right? Give it up to yourself. Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely. Okay, so I'm loving this so much, so much. So right now, you are working in your community.
Come on.
And so what are you doing in your community now? Mr. Entrepreneur.
Mr. You know, entrepreneur, aquapreneur. You Ooh. Know, one and the same. What I'm doing right now is I got this mission to teach a man people how to swim. And... You know, I've tried my hand at a few entrepreneurial endeavors, you know, like marketing and just a few different things that are really just like money driven. Mm-hmm. And what I found was that, again, you got to know yourself, right? Like I'm somebody, like I'm good with speaking, I'm good with working deals. So like I could get to the money, but the problem, the challenge I kept coming up against was fulfilling my commitments after I had the money. Because my heart wasn't in it. Right? Like, so yes. I'm one of those people that I can't just do it. Like, okay. I just, you got to know yourself, right? I just can't do it. Like, it's not enough.
I just want to say thank you for saying that because I just noticed that so much about myself.
Okay.
Because it's like, if I don't feel a purpose behind it, if it's not connected to what I feel is my passion and what I feel like I'm supposed to do in this world, then I'm like, it's like you gotta pull me out of bed to do it,
right?
But when it's like purpose driven, it's like
it's different. Like
so, yes,
that's 100%. So I mean, so right, this road to the Paralympics, right? So like we gotta, you know, it's not pro basketball, it's not pro football, right? Yeah. So nobody's sending us these big checks, so that's all we gotta worry about. So my thing was like, look. How do we, you know, essentially build a brand, right? Like that's really how it kind of started. How do we build a brand, right? So like all the things that I'm bringing to the table, you know, just being a swimmer, being, you know, identifying with the disabled community, identifying with the African-American community, identifying with LA, just all these experience, being willing to do the work. So few of us are actually willing to get out here, right?
Yeah.
Nobody want to go to a job, but they don't want to hustle either. So it's like, you know, what you
That's
gonna
true.
Do, right?
Like, what you gonna do?
What you gonna do?
Yeah.
So I'm like really just kind of putting all this together. It's like, man, we gonna win some gold medals. That's great. But you know, when I first started doing it, I was like, man, I want to be great, great. Like I want to be great, great. Like remembered great. And I just think like when athletes limit themselves to their sports accolades, like it's hot in the moment, but it gets forgotten.
Yeah.
Because, you know, who did it really serve?
Yeah.
Like it was entertainment for a little bit.
Yeah.
Like it was tight.
Yeah. Yeah.
You did that tight thing that one time.
That was
but
dope.
Like, who did it serve though?
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm like, yeah, I want to get these gold medals for me. It's going to bring us, it's going to do a lot. But ultimately, how can we give back to the community, right, and still be feeding ourselves at the same time?
Yeah.
So I'm like, you know, we're going to teach a man people how to swim. That's just what we're going to do. And so I brought the idea to my coach, and she's like, listen, if you're going to teach a man people how to swim, we're going to have to get real good at teaching people how to swim.
Wow.
And so essentially, we came up with this system together that can teach anyone how to swim in less than 4 hours.
What?
Yeah, we can teach anyone how to swim in less than 4 hours.
Oh. Okay, so I feel like you said that for my benefit. Cause,
come on now.
Okay, so I have a confession.
Interview to like confessions.
Oh, gosh. Okay. So, okay. I'll ask this question first.
Yes, go ahead.
Is doggy paddling kind of like swimming? Is that like swimming? Like, I can kind of do that, but I need to be able to have my feet on the ground. Is that swimming? You can be
just
honest.
So I'm clear. You said like you can move your, you can splash in the water, but your feet are planted.
I need no. I'm just saying, like, okay, I can doggy paddle, kinda.
Mm-hmm.
But my, I can't, getting in water.
Yeah.
It needs to be like, I need to be able to touch the ground.
Okay.
Like, cause otherwise I'll get scared.
Okay.
So if it's like 10 feet.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, I'm not getting in there cause I don't really swim. Okay. Yeah. So I'm sorry. That was just a long way for me to say
yeah,
that I don't really know how to swim. Okay.
Right
dang.
There.
Okay.
There
I
it's okay.
Okay. So probably. Okay, so here's another confession.
Okay.
So, people like, so you don't know how to swim because you didn't want to get your hair wet. No, my hair is natural. It's
okay.
Fine getting my hair wet. So okay. It's not that kind of situation.
What's the situation?
So growing up,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, again, I didn't show my scars until mm-hmm. I was 25. So growing up, I still like to be in the water. I like to go swimming, so to speak. But I will always wear like a t-shirt over my swimsuit.
Mm-hmm.
And so there was a level of like, I was more focused on making sure my scar didn't show than I was on actually learning how to swim or really trying to swim.
Yeah, I mean, that's gotta be tough. I just even think of, you know, a child who doesn't have any visible scars or anything like that, and how just self-conscious you are of your body as a child, right?
Yeah.
Even as adults, you know, so it's, I can only imagine what that felt like. But let me just say, you are not excluded from this 100%. We could teach you how to swim in less than 4 hours. So, I mean, that's what the whole system, I don't want to, you know,
wow.
I'm all about giving away for free, but we put it into a book right now to get it trademarked and copyrighted. But I mean, just really to keep it in scope, it's really just a revolutionary system.
Yeah.
So we've broken it up. So the curriculum is the same, right? So we have 5-day programs. We have 10 days, so 5 days will be 50 minutes a day. A 10-day program would be 25 minutes a day. Or we even just have like a 1-day crash course, right?
Wow.
So it'll be a Saturday morning or something like that. And just little tidbit before I give you like the really, really good stuff here. We actually had two gentlemen, when we were first starting out, they had survived Hurricane Katrina.
Wow.
Right? And so this is the situation that everybody always says will never happen to me. It happened to them. So they were stuck on top of their roof. They had to drill through the roof during Hurricane Katrina. Trees, houses, cars, all flowing by.
Oh my
they
God.
Could not swim. And they now, I mean, not that swimming is going to help you too much during a hurricane, but it's like, if there's one place I would at least want to know how to swim,
it's during that.
It's, you know, I'm on this, 10 square feet of roof and water about to, you know, get into my socks.
Wow.
So they came through and we were first starting out in a matter of 2.5 hours. Like we had one dude swimming across the pool.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, that was the thing. So we got the system locked down. And then even more than that, when we just talk about the community aspect, right, blacks and browns are not really just the highest drowning rates. Like, it's the highest drowning rates, nearly 4 times the national average. And so when I sit back and it's like, look, Jamal Hill personally will most likely not teach a million people how to swim by myself.
Mm-hmm.
That's not what the point is. Me as an entrepreneur is more like a disruptor. That's what it's about.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I think the heart of entrepreneurship is about. So the current business model for swimming is like, you know, maybe people are charging $50 for every 20 minutes. And, you know, it has taken people months and years just to learn proficient swimming.
Mm.
So it's like, not only do a lot of people not have access, number two, you finally get to it. It's like, there's no way in halibut that I could afford to continue to do this. And then you ask the instructors, like, okay, how long is it going to take for them to learn? And then they hit you with the, everybody's different.
Oh.
AKA, we don't have a system.
Wow.
Right? Hey, that's like asking somebody, how long is it going to take you to get dressed? Like, everybody different, but
it shouldn't take you
it ain't 3 years
scientists.
Right.
To get dressed.
It ain't rocket science. Like, you know what I'm saying? And so on. But again, this is like they're making money by the hour.
Wow.
So like the longer they keep you in that system, the more money they make.
Yeah.
So many people that have joined my program, right? So we just really launched a pilot,
okay,
right? The actual pilot of the program this past winter. So like a very ballsy, right? Who launches a swim program in the winter?
Yeah.
But my girlfriend, she was like, nah, Jay, don't do it. Like, that's a bad idea. It's too cold. And I'm like, listen, if we could launch this in the winter and like we could get the market and we could fill these classes and things mm-hmm. like that, and they really work, like a few things are going to happen. Number one, all the things that can go wrong, like if we do it during the absolute most difficult time, then we'll really know what doesn't work. Like,
yeah.
Number two, if we can actually pull this off, then we'll know when we're in season, oh, it's a wrap.
Yeah.
Like, it's a wrap. Like, we're giving people a teaser during the winter, and it's in the last month, so 20 days total, we've taught roughly 50 people how to swim.
Wow.
That is just me personally.
Wow.
Right?
Oh.
And so it's like, you know, as this thing continues to grow and we just snowball effect this mother sucker, it's going to be like, you know, people are going to start going to their swim schools. And it's like, listen, I heard about this dude that's teaching people how to swim in like 5 days. People how to swim. I've been here for 6 months. I've been here for 3 months.
Yeah.
I've been here for 8 months. He's doing this over here for like $300 and it's only costing me 10 days. Why? Yeah. Right. So what that's going to do is going to start to force the industry's hand.
Yeah.
Right. It's like you got to stop robbing the people. So like that's why so many people don't know how to swim, because they're being robbed. Wow. People can't afford to do this. So it's like with this model that we really created, it's like I can keep the prices super low.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I'm talking about like $300 a person.
Yeah.
Over 5 days or 10 days or 1 day, whatever you choose. Yeah. Right. Because it's the same amount of time. Yeah. Right. The system is there. We can mass produce and replicate this. So, like, I'm eating. I feel good about myself. I'm not struggling. Mm-hmm. There's no resentment. At the same pace, I feel even better. Because now it's like, y'all swimming.
You're swimming.
Right? You're swimming.
You get what you came here for right away.
You thought this was not even possible. Some of the ladies that have been in my class, they thought this wasn't even possible. They're like, yeah, I signed up for the 10-day class. Like, I was pretty skeptical, but here I am swimming freestyle across the deep end come day number 9.
Wow.
Like, here I am.
Okay, the deep end? I just need you to understand how that's, like, my stomach sinks thinking about it.
Yeah. That's,
like, now, see, wow.
Even with some of the ladies that can do it, right, the deep end is still, like, a little bit of a daunting thing.
Yeah.
Right? So, like, we are able to swim across the deep end. Like, you know that you have the wherewithal to do it.
Yeah.
But it is still a short span. So, like, we don't do like a full psychosis on like deep in not wrenching your guts a little bit, right?
You're not gonna like, okay, this is swimming psychology.
Right. That's like people being afraid of heights to some degree.
Yeah.
But like within the class, like, you know, just a little tidbit, we teach people how difficult it is to swim on the bottom of the pool. Like, because a lot of the classes in 3 feet of water, it was mostly ladies in our class, right? So I'll have the ladies, just go down and swim along the bottom of 3 feet. Literally no one could do it because you got to know how to swim to be able to swim on the bottom. So it's like with that type of psychology, it's like you couldn't get to the bottom of the deep end
so
if you tried.
The idea is like you're going to be at the top anyway. So
you couldn't
stop
get
tripping.
Down there if you tried.
Look at like, you. I like
literally
that.
Could not. We see you couldn't even you could put a fingertip on the bottom of 3 feet and you're about 5-something. You couldn't get down to 10 feet. Like, you trust
sense.
You would pass out and then float back to the surface before anything happened, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's what we're doing in the community right now. Like I said, I'm working on a book. We're going to hopefully we'll be able to drop that before the new year, get the system trademarked, copyrighted, get ready for next year. But that's really it. Just changing the narrative, like, in the most efficient way. The goal is really to piss a whole lot of people off.
Ooh.
Like, that is my goal. I want to make a ton of enemies. A ton of enemies.
I
with
mean, you
this.
Have a whole lot of people that love you.
Oh, for sure. And that's like a given, right? But like, the change is going to come when we've made all these enemies. Like, when it's like, you know, these big swim schools that are teaching hundreds of thousands kids, right, over the past 10 years. And the people are coming in and they're upset because it's like, I'm hearing it. Everybody's talking about this. You know, why aren't you doing this? Like, okay, well, look, adopt it, right?
Yeah.
Like, adopt the system.
Yeah.
Or you don't got to adopt my system, right? Mm-hmm. It ain't like that.
But adopt a system.
Adopt
that works
a system that works for people. Get the job done. Stop robbing people. People get lazy. They don't want to, we don't want to market. We don't want to have to. It's like, what I say is like, kind of like cancer, right? Like, my name is Jamal Hill. I'm teaching a million people how to swim. Right. So if my goal is to eradicate drownings, right? How I know the business will have succeeded is when I no longer have people to teach how to swim.
Exactly.
Right? So, like, yeah. If the mission of the business is to do away with the problem, mm-hmm. then, like, the goal eventually should be to go out of business.
Exactly.
Right? Exactly. So, like, that's how I look at it. Like, if we're trying to cure some type of disease, then eventually the idea should be we will have to start a new business doing something else.
Exactly.
It's like, that's what this is about. We're going to teach as many people how to swim as humanly possible. We will hit a million. We'll hit 10 million. We got a whole lot. We'll teach a whole lot of people. As technology gets better, it'll only be easier. That's it. So, like, I'm not even gonna lie. We got the hood excited. Like,
I'm excited. Yeah. I'm like, that's so dope. That is so wonderful. I'm so excited to hear the work that you're doing, and you have a vision.
Yep.
You have the drive. You have.
I got the team.
Everybody, you got the team.
Yeah, I got the team.
You got people who believe in you, and it started with you just like saying, "Hey, all right,
let's change something.
Let's do something." Let's do
That's, if I may, like, whoever listened to
this. Yes, please.
No, it's like,
what would you share with them?
What I would share is just like, we live in this world, right? And money is important. Money is resource, right? We all like to eat. We all like to be warm during the winter. We all like to be cool during the summer. We like to live comfortable lives. So don't get me wrong. Like, I like it as much as the next guy. I like to, you know, go splurge a little bit sometimes. Mm-hmm. Buy my mama something nice for her birthday, you know, do stuff like that. But at the end of the day, I think, like, we don't live for money, right?
Yeah.
Like, We're here as a gift, ultimately.
Mm.
And I think that so many times we get caught up in, like, what's my purpose? Or, like, what's my mission? What was I set here for? And, I mean, my personal volition is just that, like, you were set here just as a gift. You really don't have... This is a gift. Like, it's free. You get to do with it what you choose. Like, you get to choose a purpose.
Hmm.
Like, you literally get to choose the purpose. Like,
wow.
It's, you know, like, you go find yourself, all that stuff is good. But, like, at the end of the day, you get to choose your purpose. You get to choose your mission, right? And it's like, when you find something that you believe in and that it's really geared around helping people, it's like, you can build a business model around something like that to where you know what I'm saying? You can, listen, if when we teach a million people how to swim, we will have made $1 million, I guarantee you.
Mm-hmm.
You feel like it's impossible. Like,
the idea is serving.
It's service.
Service will bring you
all this, like,
money.
It's
you're looking
the McDonald's,
for.
Right? McDonald's, like, but, like, it's that business model,
yeah.
Right? Like, the more people we serve,
yeah,
right, the more that we are being served,
yeah,
right. Like, so you want to, again, like, you want to get, you want to make this much a month, you want to make this much a year, okay. Then go out and figure out a way to help this many people a month.
Yeah.
Or help this many people a year.
Mm-hmm.
And I promise you, it'll start to turn into something for you. You will figure out, like, oh, okay, like, yeah, I can still charge this, make my nut, and still be offering this amazing service to somebody.
Mm-hmm.
That's really it. That's the heart of it all for me. And it took me, I mean, like, right, I'm talking about time, but, like, it took me a lot of failure to figure that out. Like, I'm somebody just, like, go.
Yeah.
Like, let's just fail as fast as humanly possible.
Yeah.
And it's, like, I've never felt more fulfilled than, like, what I'm doing, more excited about what I can talk about than, like, what I'm doing right now. And it feels even better because it's, like, you know, don't get me wrong, I'm not sitting here rich, you feel me?
But you're doing what you love.
Absolutely.
And you're serving others.
Yep.
And I just feel like that's the best way to live life is when you what you love and serving others, and you're making money, and you have the medals.
Man. It's,
and you know what I'm saying?
That holistic,
like,
view.
Wow.
That holistic view. So what? You know, at the end of the day, just don't sell your soul for a few dollars, you feel me? Like, don't, because, I mean, like, I'm sure, like most of us, I have definitely tried it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I have tried it. And I'm just grateful that, like, I've learned the lesson so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But so many of us, like, have much greater success early on than I did trying it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I didn't just get hella rich selling my soul, so I had to readjust. Some people do, though, but, I mean, there's still that lack of fulfillment. There's still that empty space, right? There's that stuff that money doesn't buy. I mean, the money will never be able to fill that void. So at the end of the day, when you find your passion and it can help other people, oh, you will be fulfilled on a whole new level. Like people will just love you. Like, and I think that's the greatest currency. Like when people love you, it's just to me, like, you know, you do this for them, they do that for you. So somebody shows up to your show to support. It's just like, that is what the global economy is about, being more connected with these so and so many billion souls on this planet.
Yeah.
And just really trying to vibe on a higher frequency. You feel me? Like, that's the global economy, right?
Yes.
Like, that's the currency that really matters. Like, just that vibration on a higher energy where it's like, instead of getting out here trying to be the Jamal Hill, it's like, oh, nose to the grindstone. I'm working so hard that I'm passing out. Like, oh, I'm going to make it happen. It's like, nah, just take a step back. Like, get your priorities, get your energy right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Stop giving away so much time to, like, these other people, you know, as a backdoor to your dream, and, like, really invest in the people that's here with you, building your family, your friends. And just know that it will be done. Like, and just have faith and, like, really take the time to enjoy it, right? Well, what good does it do you to live for 60 years? You spend 60 years trying to accumulate millions and billions and this, that, and the other, and now you only got, like, a week to spend it all because, like, you wasn't really present during any of it, right? So it's like, you know, one of my favorite musicians that are you a musician, Bob Marley, it's like, you know, like, you know, what makes me a wealthy man? Like, what, riches? Nah, riches is not what makes me wealthy. You know, like, doing what I love with the people I love and inspiring other people to love is what makes me wealthy. And it'll make anybody wealthy.
It would.
Yeah. Just how big and dry of a pill it was for me to swallow going to the Paralympics. Mm-hmm. You can't help but just address the stigma, right? My mental association somehow, right, in my mind, the Paralympics did not equate the Olympics, right?
Okay.
These athletes are not as valuable as these athletes. Mm-hmm. These athletes don't deserve as much glory and respect as these athletes. These athletes must not be working as hard as these athletes, right? Because these are spotlight athletes. Everybody loves this. The Paralympics often gets confused with the Special Olympics. Nobody, right? Those are two different organizations.
Yeah.
Right? And Special Olympics has a much better marketing team. So people know the Special Olympics before they even know the Paralympics.
So wait. So when you have the Paralympics, what is the criteria for Paralympics? You know, because you don't want to confuse it with the Special Olympics. So what's the criteria for the Paralympics?
Paralympics is going to be primarily physical disability. The Special Olympics are people dealing with, like, any, you know, degree of cognitive impairment.
Gotcha.
Right? So, like, that's really what the Special Olympics are.
Okay.
The Paralympics is on the same level as the United States Olympic and Paralympic Committee.
Gotcha.
Right? Like, these are full-blown professional athletes. Mm-hmm. Again, though, like, when I say Paralympics, a lot of times people think Special Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's not. It's completely different.
Yes.
Completely, completely different. Yes, that was a big thing for me. It's just like, how do I, you know, really kind of cope with the fact that I really undervalue these people over here, and now I'm one of them, right? Mm-hmm. Like, this is just keeping it 100, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. No, that's real.
Right? Like, I really undervalue these athletes, and now I'm one of them. Like, I've been telling myself all this time, you know, not specifically to this group, but, like, I just don't identify as that.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, I think, like, it was an awakening and an opportunity that so few people really get to experience. Like, when you can really have a paradigm shift, right, with your, like, with your appreciation, your understanding of a subject matter, that's something that experience most often is the only thing that can teach you, right? And so I had to look myself in the mirror. I had to go to these meets, and there are people out there, someone with no arms and no legs. You know, I don't compete against them, right? There's different classifications, right, for every sport. So, like, you're always competing against people with similar physical impairments. So it's as fair as humanly possible. But, you know, what I tell people now is, like, especially when I'm sitting down, it's like, oh, Jamal, you're so inspiring. Whoop, 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 whoop. I'm like, man, look, I work with some of the most inspiring people in the world. Like, you think I'm doing something big. Like, again, there's people out here, someone with no arms or no legs, that's moving faster than people that I know that can swim, you know?
Wow.
And what's amazing, I think, is just the climate of the world is changing so much. Just this year, the United States Olympic and Paralympic community actually made it official, right? For a long time, it was only the USOC, the United States Olympic Committee.
Okay.
This year, it got named the United States Olympic and Paralympic Committee.
Wow.
So with that came now when athletes win medals at the Olympiad or the Paralympiad, they get paid the exact same amount. So you win a gold, you get
that's
paid 30K.
That's so amazing.
That's just how it is.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
that's
so like
awesome.
This equal opportunity, you know what I'm saying? Like mm-hmm. really just this equal value, right? Like not undervaluing. And so that was something, you know, I didn't like beat myself up about it. It wasn't a thing to me, but like mm-hmm. I think it's something that just really highlighted the fact that like this wasn't just Jamal being, you know, discriminatory. This is like mm-hmm. something that to some degree we've all been trained subliminally to like accept,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
These athletes weren't even getting paid the same amount when they were, you know, for all intents and purposes, overcoming a lot more.
A lot more.
Overcoming
a lot more.
A lot more, you know, on and off the court, in and out of the pool. And it's like they were getting the short end of the stick. So, I mean, when you just talk about like the pay gap and the wage gap, things are changing. That's like the moral of the story is like the same way that my perspective has changed. And like now I'm out here.
You see the world is shifting.
I see the world
well.
Is shifting. It's like, you know, I'm out here as an advocate for the Paralympics. Like I tell when I go to speak at Shark Maria Tooth events and things of that nature. It's like, look, there is an organization out here, right? If you want to be a professional athlete, that's real. Like you could really do that.
Yeah.
Like you really can. Now you still got to grind because these are not people to be trifled with.
No, like they're about their business.
They're about their business. They are true competitors. I'm one of them.
I know. I was about to say, like, have you met Jamal?
Right. So it's like, if you come and swim against me, like, you better be ready to swim. Like, so, but it's really, it's out here. It's an opportunity and it's only growing every year. Like, I've seen so much of the world over this past year since I've been to Scotland, I've been to Peru. Indianapolis this coming year. I'll stop in Colorado, going to Dallas next month, going to Australia. We headed to Tokyo. You know, it's just, about experience. You talk about just seeing the world, doing what you love, inspiring people, and really still being able to be who you are, comfortable in your own skin.
Yes.
I don't think there's anything better.
Gosh, that's amazing. You're connecting with other people. Mm-hmm. You have a community of people that you see the work they put in. And so you absolutely respect them. You know that they're working hard.
Yeah.
And all of this, if I can say, from what I've heard, just in speaking with you, is because at 10 years old, when you were diagnosed, your mama was like, so what you gonna do?
Yeah.
And you said, you know what? I'm going to keep working.
Come on now. That's it.
I'm going to keep working. 100%. I'm going to make it happen. And this is what is happening. And I am absolutely loving it. It is beautiful.
Thank you.
It is amazing. And the energy that you have, like, look at this smile.
Yeah, you know.
Look at that. It is incredible. So I just want to say thank you so much for coming and being a part of this show. Like, and I am just so excited to see you win some more medals and so on and so forth. Yes. I'm all inspired and such. And then also, you the baby want to, like, really for real learn how to swim?
Oh, for sure. Seriously, though. On a very, very serious tip, like, you need to tap in with your boy.
Okay. We're going to make it happen.
That's it.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Woo! Okay, so my heart is so warm right now. There's literally nothing else to say at this point outside of please let the people know where they can find you and how they can get in contact, how they can learn how to swim, whatever it is.
Absolutely, absolutely. So you can definitely follow up on Instagram. That's @swimuphill. Other than that, link with me through the website, www.swimuphill.com. We're on Twitter, Swim Uphill. We're on Facebook, Swim Uphill. But Instagram is going to be your best bet. The website is going to be your best bet for, you know, registration dates for early 2020. I'm telling y'all, like, it's going to be packed. Like,